Well, on today's final video here of my vacation and to being out, I wanted to bring you the applications that I use in business. And this is dedicated to all those people who say, well, Linux is fun for basic things, but you just can't do business and production stuff on it. And I'm going to radically, radically beg to differ, as I use Linux for all of my production. Now, I don't just do simple videos. I also write books, publish and produce books, do audiobooks, ebooks, things like that. Here's one of my ebooks. This is the most recent ebook. So this is all produced inside of Linux as well. We have the audiobook versions also produced inside of Linux. We'll talk about all of those. Now, before I get into that, I want to talk about obviously the general business things. How do you handle emails? How do you handle web browsing and things like that? You can see this here is Evolution. That is what I use for my primary business email. I also use Thunderbird. I use that for the other emails. I basically have I have two separate businesses in everything that I do. One of those is an overarching LLC, which covers Switch to Linux and the authoring and writing stuff. That is all under the OWIC Publishing LLC. And I do web design development and web consulting type things. And that is all under a sole proprietor setup. Both of those have their own separate accounting ends. And of course, for that, we use the application called GNU Cash. And I have done some tutorial series on GNU Cash before. I'm not opening that application up because there's a lot of business information. I use this in both of my separate businesses. I send print out separate P&Ls. I send those over to the accountant, and I get all of my work stuff done. So now, of course, you might be having an accountant that's like, well, you're not using QuickBooks. Tell your accountant he can either adapt to you or fire him and find somebody who will. That was one of the first things I did. Working with free and open source stuff, I called up my accountant. When I was looking for a new accountant, I said, hey, I am dedicated to free and open source software. I use a free open source software. I can get you the P&L. I can get you the files if you want. He says, that's fine. Get me a P&L. That's cool. And of course, he's a guy that really does like some of the things that I do in doing free and open source stuff. So it's given him a little bit of an education as well to see how you can make all this kind of stuff work. GNU Cash follows everything I need in business. Now, I've looked at other things. I've used K-Money or K-MyMoney, I think it's called. I've used that for some personal stuff. But in reality, I use spreadsheets for personal accounting. I don't generally use software for that. Although I will be presenting K-MyMoney in a future video about how you can use it and replacing a lot of those other big data tracking systems with K-MyMoney. I have looked at other things like Accounting as a self-hosted system. I kind of liked it, except A, it wasn't encrypted, and B, it was web-based, and C, to do even a basic backup system required you to buy a subscription. And if you wanted to get plugins, I'm okay buying plugins, but you had to buy plugins through an online account. And I didn't like that from a free and open source system. I should be able to buy a plugin, download it, and side install it. So I didn't like that one. There's a few other things I've looked at. I found overall GNU Cash follows absolutely everything I need it to do. Now, I do everything offline. It is actually possible to connect your bank accounts for automatic reconciliations. I don't do any of that kind of stuff. Just the type of person I am. I just don't like automated things like that. And I have a perfectly fine time reconciling my accounts as it is. So I use GNU Cash for those, for accounting. We already mentioned briefly email. I do use Thunderbird still. I was at one point in time looking at moving away from them. I didn't like some of the directions they're going in. But for now, I'm still on Thunderbird. It allows me to access every email account that I have. It allows me to sort and organize things. And I just deal with the things it does I don't like. Now, for my main email, I actually prefer Evolution. This is very much like Microsoft Outlook. Well, at least Microsoft Outlook before it was completely destroyed by Microsoft in recent years. And this can manage Exchange servers. It can manage all that kind of stuff. It can integrate your contacts and calendars. In fact, I have Nextcloud plugged into the work computer, and I have Evolution and the calendars and the contacts all sync together with my Nextcloud instance. And so Evolution is really what I use for email. Again, I'm not opening that up to show you what it looks like just because there's a lot of personal emails in there, personal email addresses and clients and things like that. But you can see basically what it looks like for here from this window. And this is actually color-coded just to show you what's what. The menu bar, toolbar, folder lists, search bars, preview pane, status bars, all those types of things. So there's this is a really, really, really good application. Now, the other thing I use a lot is KeePass XE. Again, I'm not opening that one up because, you know, duh. But KeePass XE is the best password manager for offline use. The current versions even support full passkey support. So if you have things like Microsoft accounts or Google accounts that are begging you for passkeys, you can manage passkeys inside of here. It works great. And so you can kind of see the various screenshots, what this looks like. So here's here's the image, and it shows you this is, you know, and I have two tabs in mine. I have one for personal stuff for me, and I have a separate KeePass file just for clients. So all my client stuff is inside of KeePass. I don't keep client logins anywhere, unencrypted, things like that. I do it all over here. You hit to enter in, and you can enter your password, or if you can do like a key file, which so you can lock this with a YubiKey or an OnlyKey. And then here's setting it up. So just describe the name of the database and the description. And then you can set how long does it take to decrypt. Obviously, the bigger numbers will take longer to open the file up, but it will also be a lot more secure. And then here you can import various files from a CSV, 1Password export, 1Password vault, a Bitwarden, or an old KeePass database. So you can import files. This is what your import screen is going to look like. And then when you actually get in here, you can organize and sort your passwords into different folders and types. I have mine by types. I have one separate place just for all emails and all the email passwords there. I have a separate one for each of the businesses and then a few other personal accounts and things like that. Then for my clients, I have, if a client just has like one or two logins, I have one folder just for single logins. Some of my clients I work on, I manage multiple projects. So those clients, I have a separate folder just for that client. So I can easily sort and find everything I need. Of course, here you can use the favicon from the website to populate the image. That's the only internet, you know, like the network connection this allows, and you can disable that as well. You can see here that here's your application. Here is your username, the URL, and then up here you can hit the usernames, passkeys, URL bar, and then there's also notes, and you can keep a lot of cool note stuff inside of there. Here's adding a new entry. And then if you want to add your own custom icons, or you can use default icons it has. And then this is an automatic password generator. You can set a various types of things that you need in there. Here's your passphrase systems you can do as well. And so you can see here's health checks you can do. There's you need the passkey support down there. So you can basically use everything in that. And I have some extra tutorials on how to manage that as well. So those are your basic applications. Now I wanted to sort it out by the types of things that I do. First one we will cover is the authoring stuff. Of course, I write books and I produce books. So if I go up to this one, this is the latest book. This is the first collection of short stories related to technology. And I have these nice and sorted out. This is just a basic e-reader, which I think comes with Calibri. I think that's what this particular e-reader is. But as far as making these e-books, of course, first you have to write them. I use LibreOffice for my writing. Now I'm playing around with an application called Manuscript, which is very much like the application called Scrivener, which is a more of a proprietary application used by a number of writers. I personally just use LibreOffice. LibreOffice, of course, gives you the full writing, spreadsheets, PowerPoint type work, databases, drawing, math, formulation. It has everything in here. There's just a lot of different things down here. So you can see how everything is all set up inside of LibreOffice. I just use LibreOffice because really you get in here and you can do everything that you need. I can do the full book production inside of LibreOffice, so I can very easily write the book. I can format the book specifically for the printer, and then you output the book. And as you output the book, I thought I had it up here. Maybe I don't. Let me grab. There's co-redded. So this is actually the PDF that I create utilizing LibreOffice. I create this PDF that gets output. This goes into the book distributors who actually print the books. Pretty much every book, whether you're running from a major publisher like Penguin House or you're doing it yourself through KDP or Ingram Spark, then you can actually just use LibreOffice. They all do the same way. They are all effectively print on demand. Only difference is a major publishing house will go in and print out, 10,000 of them on demand at first, and then they'll have a warehouse full of them to, facilitate faster printing, shipping, or things like that. And so all of these PDFs that I use to send these to the book printers, the book distributors, are all done in LibreOffice. You do not need an extra application. It all works inside of LibreOffice. Then, of course, you need a book cover. I use GIMP. Of course, I use GIMP for web design. I use GIMP for video production. I use GIMP for books. Again, this is another one of those things people say, well, you have to use Photoshop. You're doing professional work. Balderdash. Every one of my books, and you can buy one of my books online, hold the physical copy, and if I didn't tell you this was created in GIMP or you didn't read it inside the front cover, because I like supporting open source software and I give everybody the list of software used to produce that particular book, you wouldn't know that wasn't done on Photoshop. GIMP is a very powerful, very robust layered image editor. It's not super simple to use, neither is Photoshop. But once you get to know how to use it, this is the cover for I Am Not Amused. I would have showed you Code Red, but I can't seem to find the GIMP files for that one. They're around here somewhere. I just went to the sources. I knew I could easily find some. This is one of my books, one of my Christian books here. And this is literally the file that, this is actually the file that got uploaded. Well, I exported it into an image. They asked for an image file, but I exported this into an image, and this is actually the file that is used to send the print cover out to Ingram to print the books. When you go online and you buy a copy of I Am Not Amused, if you're buying it through anywhere other than Amazon, then the file that they use to print that book cover is this exact file, produced on Linux with GIMP. And so it has all the different things. It has layers. That's why I kind of wanted to show you the Code Red, because I had everything grouped. I could show you the various groups all as a separate thing. This one here is kind of an older way I was running these, but you can see there's that background there, and there's the text over it. So, but you can see that everything is all done in here with GIMP. When it comes to doing an ebook, there is a free and open source application called Sigil. Sigil allows you to create an EPUB file with full metadata inside. So if I look at the metadata editor, this is all the metadata. So if you go and buy this book, it has the ISBN in there, it has the publisher, it has the description, subjects, titles, creator, language, the last date it was modified. All that information is all in there. And then, of course, and all an EPUB basically is, in fact, if you didn't know this, you can take an EPUB, rename the extension to .zip, and open up in any archive extractor, and you'll see exactly this. You'll see a folder of texts. These are all XHTML files. This is how the ebook is created. And then you'll see a separate file for style sheets. You'll see a separate place for images. So here is the chapter divider images. These are for the promo in the back of the book. This is the front image cover. This is the section divider, and this is the title. And then, of course, I use custom fonts as well. So this also contains custom fonts. And then if there's any audio, video, or miscellaneous things, then you have basically a table of contents manifest. So this is Sigil, S-I-G-I-L. And Sigil allows you to get over and edit every element, every aspect of an ebook, and then print it out. And then that allows you, basically, I take this exact file. This is the Code Red official ebook file. From this, I simply uploaded this to both Amazon and to Ingram. And anywhere you buy the EPUB, you're buying from this. All created, produced, and manufactured on Linux. And then four, of course, audiobooks. I use Audacity. Yes, there was a little bit of a controversy with Audacity a little bit ago. They were going to start adding some data collection. They have actually opted to reverse that only about 2 or 3 months afterwards. The adding the code made a whole bunch of big news. Removing the code did not. But I will tell you that Audacity, they have solved the issue with the data collection. It is still considered a good and safe application, and it really is the open source gold standard for audio production. This is what I use to do all of my audiobooks. And also, if there is an audio correction on this channel's videos, I will actually run them through Audacity and do a series of analytics checks and number of different things. So basically, Audacity is a excellent place where you can go to do anything related to audio. Now, if you really like the writing type stuff and you're like, I want to hear more about that, I do have a dedicated writing channel called Writing Done Right. Go to Writing Done Right on YouTube. Some of my other alt places have it as well. But this channel here is really dedicated to showing you just basic writing tips and also how to use a lot of these different software. Like, how do I do full book covers in GIMP? It is all over here. How do you actually style a document? We have how to use Audacity, introductions to LibreOffice. Here is Sigil, how to use some Sigil things, language tool. And here's a looking introduction to OnlyOffice, if that might be more your purview. We have PHP lists, self-hosted email newsletters. So we talk about a little bit about websites and things like that. So you can have a look over here if you're interested in the writing stuff to learn a little bit more about that. And with that, I want to jump on over now. I want to talk a little bit more about the web design, which is kind of nice and easy. Web design is really easy. It's basically just, text files, really. But I use Bluefish Editor as my preferred. There's also a VS Codeium, which is basically an open source version of VS Code, which is, of course, a very robust programming, coding. You can use it for web development. You can use it for software development as well. VS Codeium is an open source version of that, kind of like Chrome and Chromium. There is VS Code and VS Codeium, and you can use that. For me, it's a little bit more complicated and heavier than I prefer, especially since most of my work is done on a Raspberry Pi. Bluefish Editor is perfect for me, and you can go and look at the documents, so you can see that you can do the basic as text there. You can do PHP, you can do HTML5, generic HTML, but you can also do coding. And what this is going to do is it's going to change the language of the document you're working on to be able to look for and match that syntax. So the document here, if you're writing some program, you know, PHP or C++, it might actually tell you, hey, did you forget your semicolon? You know, things like that. It gives you some code completion. So if you go over and do something like CSS and you're doing like, here's font. Let's do a font, and then let's do a font. You just type this in. Here's font family, font size, font style. So if I do font style, then you can see that there's a number of different things. It'll give you a lot of code hints, allowing you to very quickly code things out, especially if you're forgetting something, you know. Let's do a font style. So what are my options there? There's opaque, you know, there's, you can see that there's that. There's, let's use that there. But if you actually just, if you're not sure what the various lines are, you can see here, normal, italic, oblique, inherit. Those are the things it's looking for. So you can go ahead and do that. So this allows you to do a number of different things very easily. Of course, then you need to upload your files and FileZilla. So FileZilla, of course, you can just do your quick, enter in your host, your password, your username, check your port, do quick connect. And then you can also, there's a giant site manager there, which I'm not going to click on because I have a lot of client websites listed in there. And you can also pull down the tab here and auto connect to any of the sites that you have. Very, very simple FTP tool. You can just move from your computer side here is on the left, and the server side here is on the right. You can just move files back and forth. Of course, some people like the terminal editor things. You know, you can use SSH for this type of stuff. But when I'm working in a graphical interface, FileZilla is certainly the best go-to for utilizing your file servers. So that's your web design stuff. And then, of course, the last is video editing. Obviously, in video editing, we do use GIMP for thumbnails. We might use Audacity to fix things up. We'll use LibreOffice to write some script stuff out. And our biggest bulk here is Kden Live. So I use Kden Live as all of my video editor here. Very simple. It's your standard non-linear. So is it called? Yeah, non-linear. I remember there's different types of these here. And then you just throw your video clips over here, move them over here. And then there's just a number of different styles, effects, and things like that. So here's audio effects, here's video effects. So you can go in here and grab the various things, move them over, and manipulate and create your video file any way that you like. Of course, there's also fun things like a simple screen recorder. That's what we're using right here to actually record this one. Although in some instances, I might use OBS, and I don't even know if I have OBS installed on this computer now. This one here was the old Dell. I would use it for anything except video production generally. So I don't have OBS installed on this one, but OBS is certainly what we use for our live streams. And OBS is a deeply powerful application as well for video editing. So there is our list of software that I use in the various forms of business and production. Let me know your thoughts on these in the comments down below.